So when you say the hardest challenging questions, I think they can go in different directions, right? I think there's the most painful questions to deal with, and then there's the philosophical hard questions, and then there's, I'm just thinking this through as you're asking the question, and then there's the practical challenges that make progress and engagement much more difficult. What I mean by that is painful questions, I think, has to be the one why. Like, people go through an unimaginable tragedy sometimes. Very hard to watch it happen, very hard to see people suffer.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the JP Show. I'm here with Rabbi Levy. Don't forget, if you're listening, please subscribe to our channel or give us a rating if you're listening on Spotify or Apple. And enjoy another episode. How are you, Rabbi Levy? How was your week?
The week was good. It was like everyone in the Jewish nation. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster the past few weeks.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Seeing hostages released is obviously good. Seeing the state that they were released in, obviously not very good.
Yeah. It is a very strong, I mean, it's been like that the whole time, but it's a very strong range of emotion now, I think.
Some of them coming back to very hard situations, family members that were killed, they didn't even know.
Yeah.
But their faith is amazing.
It is, it
The
is.
Jewish people are amazing. What can I
There
say?
is no question about it.
Like, we're a special people.
I mean, the prayer, what was the what's her name? Agam Berger,
Hamburger, yeah.
who tried to do mitzvot and to pray while she was in captivity. People meeting hostages and saying Shema Yisrael.
Yeah.
The soul, the Jewish soul's on fire, I think.
Yeah.
It's quite spectacular. But you're right, it's a range of emotions, and we're still waiting for the ultimate miracle.
Absolutely.
So, what are we
So,
doing today?
I thought we would discuss, this could take us really anywhere, actually. And the question I want to put to you is, and then we can discuss, is what are the hardest questions people have posed to you as a rabbi? What I mean to say by that is, I don't mean like theoretical questions necessarily. I mean like, you're trying to get someone to be engaged, to come learn, to come get involved. But some people are hesitant and they're resistant. And the people have different reasons, whether it can be very it can be various reasons. It can vary from their background, their experiences, intellectual questions, emotional challenges towards Judaism. What have you found have been the hardest, and how do you respond to them? And I guess we'll let this flow as it goes.
Okay. So when you say the hardest challenging questions, I think they can go in different directions, right? I think there's the most painful questions to deal with, and then there's the philosophical hard questions, and then there's, I'm just thinking this through as you're asking the question, and then there's the practical challenges that make progress and engagement much more difficult. What I mean by that is painful questions, I think, has to be the one why. Like, people go through an unimaginable tragedy sometimes. Very hard to watch it happen, very hard to see people suffer. And in their pain and in their distress and in their trauma, they say to you, like, why? Like, why is this happening to me? Good people and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
Well, the illness of a loved one, the how do I have simcha, how do I have joy when this is all happening to me, all that kind of stuff. That's very difficult. And the best answer to that question is, I don't know. Because I don't know. And I think the worst thing a rabbi can do is pretend that he knows, but he doesn't. Meaning, obviously, I lead into that. I say, it's hard, and you try to show empathy, you try to feel hurt with the person together, but it's basically about emunah. It's really about accepting. You can't. We don't know why God does certain things, right? Then there's the philosophical, challenging questions. People not suffering, but how do you know there's a God? And and where was God in the Holocaust, and those type of questions, and aren't the commandments outdated, and these kind of questions, which are challenging. But actually, I don't mind so much if people ask those questions, because at least you can engage in a conversation. I have people around the Shabbat table, and I sometimes ask them to ask questions, and the ones I love the best are the challenging ones, not the painful ones, but the challenging ones, because we can at least get into a conversation. It's engagement. People engage. It's good. And then there's the challenging question on a practical level, I think, like when you're trying to get people involved, and they're basically telling you, like, is this a priority? I don't really have the time. Why do I need this in my life? Like, why is it important? Me and you drive everyone mad to come and learn, right? On a level. But I mean, this question can be asked in, sometimes it's asked in a statement form, sometimes it's asked in a question form, sometimes it's asked by ignoring us. But it's all the same question. So the question is, like, convince me that I need this, right?
I once saw somewhere that a rabbi's number on people's phones is blocked and on their speed dial at the same time.
That's very good. That's challenging, because but it actually is good, because sometimes you have to reflect and say, like, okay, so it is the onus is on me. Like, why am I so crazy about this? Why am I driving everyone mad? Why are we passionate about this? Why is it so important for everyone, right? So we have to reflect on that and talk about that and drive people crazy. And that's okay, because you talk about the rabbi's role. They say the rabbi's role is, because I think what you were saying is similar to another concept. They say that a rabbi's role is to make uncomfortable people comfortable and comfortable people uncomfortable. So that's the those are the hard challenges in different ways.
Right. So what happens if let's say let's say I'm 45 years old, 40 years old, I have a life, I'm very happy, everything's going fine. Sometimes people come to a rabbi when things are not going well. They need help with their relationships, the mental health is usually like their first port of call sometimes is the rabbi. Let's say everything's going fine. Everyone obviously has their challenges, but relatively speaking, everything's great. And you're coming to me and saying, come to a shiur, come to a do another mitzvah, and ask you like, what do I need this for? Like,
Right.
I'm doing great. Like, I don't need anything else. I don't feel like I need more spiritual. I even have spirituality in my life when I need it. What do you answer to that?
So that's the third. I mean, that's put very well. That's essentially what the third category is, right? So it's challenging. I mean, I think that's our job, because I think it's the Jewish journey in general, right? So we're quite good at handling adversity. We're not so good at handling comfort, unfortunately. But we pray. We want God only to give us good things, right? We want all the hostages back. We want Israel to be strong. We want to have what we need. We want to have parnasa. Everyone should be comfortable and okay. But we also have to be warned and understand that that's a bit of a problem also, because sometimes we just become very complacent. So I guess that's the challenge. The challenge is to convince people that you need this. Not only you need this, but you want it. And if you come through the door, you'll actually enjoy it. Why do you need it? Because your soul, you have a neshama, and your soul craves to be connected. And generally, people are wired, as Viktor Frankl said, people are wired to seek meaning. You might have everything you need, you might be comfortable, but are you really happy? And can you stop and think, like, are you really fulfilled? And also, people talk all the time about Jewish continuity, right? I never met a person that says he won't come to any shiur, he won't start learning, and he's not interested in doing anything more Jewish, but at the same time, he doesn't talk about Jewish continuity. Everyone does. We all
That's
do.
right.
Because we all want the Jewish people to be strong and survive, and Israel to be strong. The only thing is, what are we prepared to do about it individually, right? So that's the thing. I think we all talk about now becoming more strongly Jewish, be more proud. Judaism believes in two very, very important things: wisdom, learning. As history has taught us, that the Jewish continuity is mainly through Jewish education, not only for children, but for adults as well. And just nurturing our soul. Our soul is there, it's a fact. There are countless and millions of stories that demonstrate the reality and the strength of the Jewish soul. Question is, it needs to be nurtured, it needs to find expression. You mentioned before also about people say I have spirituality in my lives. This is one of my biggest challenges, actually, I feel sometimes, right? People tell us, I'm okay, I'm doing meditation with the I don't know, this meditation and that meditation, and I've gone to silent retreats, by the way, which I never really understand. I can't understand how a Jew can be quiet for 12 days. Someone has to explain this to me.
Someone
But
has, a Jew always has to argue with someone. You can't argue
exactly.
silently.
Like I mean, I have an aspiration, and Bina, we haven't done this yet, but I want to do like a proper meditation retreat, sort of a Jewish one. But one thing I can promise everyone I'm not gonna do is a silent retreat. I don't believe actually Judaism even believes in silence. Like I think we need to engage. Engage means okay, not talk nonsense, but anyway, that's just a side point. Sorry for the side interjection here. But people say, yeah, no, my response to that always is Jewishness and spirituality are two different things. You might be spiritual. The question is, are you connecting your soul to God? And we need to become more godly. Our survival is because we're God's nation. Our survival is because we're all connected through a godly soul. So that soul needs nourishment, and that means to be do things more godly, not more spiritual necessarily. Spirituality is great, but and inspiration is great. All these things are great. We also have to translate it into action.
Do you start, like, if someone comes, if someone comes to that sort of question, like, why do I need this and all that? Do you focus on more the intellectual side of things? What I mean by that is try to convince someone that God is, first of all, God exists and he gave us a Torah and he commands us these commandments, and through these commandments we connect to him. Do you go that route, or do you just say, throw yourself into it, come and the faith will come, that type of thing?
I mean, everyone's different, right? You're asking to spill all the secrets here, but everyone's different. Like the question comes from different places. Sometimes people just haven't found God in their life, and they just don't believe in this. Sometimes, like how people know that we offer people to do a mitzvah, to shake a lulav, to put on tefillin, and what do you do if someone says, I don't really believe in this, right? So I would encourage them anyways to do it because I believe in the power of action. The power of action is incredibly powerful. Why is that? Because we have a conviction that everyone does believe. We all have a soul, right? So my response to people tell me they don't believe, I say I don't believe you. That's true. I really don't. I believe it does, right? And I have so many stories. Like I once had a person that came, like they came urgent meeting, and he's got a very close relative or a friend that I remember. Anymore, and the person left in his will, and he was very sick and he was dying, and the person left in his will to be cremated, and this guy was like beside himself. And so many times I was engaged with this person, and he told me he doesn't believe in God. It's a problem with the existence of God and Torah and mitzvah, he doesn't. And I ended up having a conversation with the guy after. I said, I have to, you puzzled me. You don't believe in God. You told me for the last 5 years you don't believe in God. So what's the difference? What happens to him? Cremation, burial, who cares? Why is it bothering you so much? And he wasn't so impressed by my question, but it doesn't matter. Because I believe every Jew, when a push comes to shove, believes. So you just got to bring it out. So, and one of the ways there's so many different ways to expose that belief and expose that soul, which is so there. I mean, look what's happening in Israel now, right? There were people who really didn't keep much at all and weren't engaged at all, and something has stirred in them. I mean, there's been like an awakening, which and a lot of it has the male soldiers, a lot of them are starting to put on tzitzit and tefillin, and now the story with this hostage, wanted to pray, and the emunah and tefillin, it's like bringing it out, right? But I think we have to sort of try and bring that out when things are going well, because it's
Well, that's harder.
sorry, it's harder.
In a way, sometimes harder.
It is correct. It is on it. Because there's no adrenaline because we're not being challenged. So our job is to challenge ourselves. By the way, when I talk about other people, I'm actually talking about myself also. We all have to do that, right? On
Yeah,
different
for sure.
levels, maybe, but in different contexts. And because people who have been engaged all their life also run the risk of becoming very complacent and then doing it very robotically and not growing. So it's the same. It's really the same challenge, right? We also do that sometimes. We grow when we challenge, but we don't grow when we're not challenged. Same thing, same problem. So I guess part of our challenge is to practice what we preach a little bit. But that kind of thing.
Talking about growing from challenges, do you see everyone growing from challenges, or do sometimes challenges actually have the opposite effect?
It's a matter of timing, I think. Sometimes people don't feel they can grow from challenge initially, and one has to always respect that. Because sometimes it's even a bit of anger, like the question of why is so strong. And it's not a time to challenge it, because people have to grieve sometimes and mourn and go through pain. So yeah, but I think ultimately, I mean, look, there are people that know, there are people that remain stuck, and that's very sad. It's one of the saddest things to watch, actually, when people just remain stuck in their pain even after a long period of time, and they don't grow. And they don't become stronger, and they're not resilient. That's just a very sad thing, because ultimately and sometimes that needs intervention, sometimes that needs healing, whatever the case might be. But ultimately, people do. People are amazing. People are amazing that way.
Like resilience is very deep.
Yeah, it's very deep, and it runs, and it's part of our DNA. It is part of our DNA.
So you've seen people change. You've seen people that were very resistant. And then they became not resistant, and they became very involved. What do you think changed them? Besides for a challenge, we discuss people's challenges sometimes. What does it? What switches someone? Or is it not like one moment? It's just.
No, I don't think. I mean, some people have an aha moment, and everything changes with them. But not always. Sometimes just a matter of understanding, and I mean, inspiration. But also, I'm saying, you said challenges aside, right? But it's also about learning and appreciating, and I mean, there are many ways. But I suppose what we do, in Bina, I suppose that's the way we take, right? Which is exposing people to the depth, expose people to appreciate what's going on. What is this all about? Unfortunately, so many people have a, and it's not a judgment. It's just they've never had the opportunity to learn in a sophisticated adult way, and therefore have certain perceptions, which are not incorrect perceptions, but they more kindergarten level perceptions, and never develop it. And now they're adults, and they're still walking around with the same things, and they need to understand. I mean, to expose to the beauty, right? I also found that people also in the work that we do together is that people also understand how relevant it all is, and how Judaism and Jewish wisdom can change their life sometimes, can change their relationships, can change their well-being, their happiness, everything. And that's very, very powerful.
Do you feel like people challenge you more, or do you challenge them more? Who drives you crazier?
It depends who. I think there's some people like the challenge, and it's okay, I welcome that. Some people don't challenge, they want to, but they're too scared. They think it's not nice, like it's not respectful.
Yeah, I actually, from my experience, like the worst thing giving a class is when everyone just sits there and is happy. It's actually it means either they just couldn't be bothered, like it's so boring they couldn't be bothered to even disagree with it.
Yeah,
Very
exactly.
rarely does everyone disagree with you. I mean, does everyone agree with
Especially
you?
when you say something controversial intentionally, and you want people
Right.
to challenge you, and they don't.
That's right.
Like, they're not there. Like, oh,
Like
come on.
being, yeah,
You
exactly.
think to
Being
yourself, no, you're
challenged.
not supposed to agree with this.
Yeah, that's right. Because I mean, so if you say they challenge you, that means something's awake, something's doing, you get something to work with.
That's right.
All right. Do you have anything to add here?
No, look, I think what you learn also is that really people are very receptive. People are very, very receptive. And it's just a matter of, I think of providing the right setting, the right context. And yeah, some of us feel a bit too comfortable, so they don't challenge, but you have to work harder. But I think we all need to grow. I think growth is just fundamental to everyone and their part of the journey, including ourselves. And but I think people are receptive. People are looking. People are searching. Look, life is busy, and I think that's what you got to overcome as well. Life is busy. Life is challenging. People have children. People have grandchildren. People have to have work. People have all kinds of things. Survival is hard sometimes for some people. So that's why, I think that's where the pushing comes.
Has that gotten worse? Just to divert a little bit, have people become busier, do you find?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a very fast-moving life, and I think, I don't know, people. I'm just thinking of Sydney, for example. People seem to be more stressed. Maybe it's the
Could be cost of living, could be many things, yeah.
cost of living gone up, housing in Sydney. I don't know. People are worried about their children, the grandchildren, the government, the situation. I mean, anti-Semitism doesn't help, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where we need to inspire and say, no, we just need to make time for the important things. But deep down, everyone wants to do that. And that's the good part.
And the good news is, this is just going to stick in a commercial here, that obviously we would love for you to come to Bina to learn, but we have many options that you can, when you're driving to work, when you're just on the train. I mean, for example, this podcast, but other podcasts, your meditation podcast, partial podcast, many other options. And in general, just online today, there's unbelievable resources. Everyone can learn and grow,
Yeah, it's great and it's very available.
find a
And
few
some people
minutes.
take advantage of it. Just last week, I wasn't at Bina, I was at a different shul for Shabbos because I was at a call up. And someone I know who never comes to Bina, he just whatever, he doesn't attend Shirim, but I know him and he's a friendly guy. Comes to me and says, "What's with you guys? Why haven't you been teaching?" It was like after the summer holidays. Says, "Where's your Parsha podcast? Where's it?" I said, "Well, of course," I said, "I was away. We took a break for a while." He says, "So what am I going to listen to when I cycle to work?" And he told me he listens every week to some of the stuff we have online.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was great. So yeah, that's the greatness, that's the advantage of technology. It becomes makes Jewish wisdom more available. So you're right. Like if you're too busy, you can't come to a shir. Always lovely to see you, and it's nice to learn in a crowd. But the stuff's available in different ways.
Keep growing, keep challenging,
That's
and
it.
keep learning. All right.
Very good. Have a good day, everyone. See you next time.